Well, happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
And he's risen. All right, so let's play a little Imagine If with that little call and response that we did. And we'll have to shift gears a little bit for it. Imagine this. Imagine that you just lost somebody that you really love deeply. And for a lot of us, it is not that hard to go there, is it? So imagine if you're grieving. And imagine it's got you so wrecked in the inside that you're like, I just have to go there. I've got to go to the graveside. And so you get in a car, try to visualize this. You're in a car with the people that are closest to you, people that really care about this person. And you drive to this car and you pull up to the cemetery and you get out and it's so early that it's barely enough light to see. And you're walking through the grass on the way to the gravesite and that dew is so heavy because it's early in the morning. You're feeling your toes get wet through your shoes, right? You know, everybody tracking with me so far? So now you get to the gravesite where your loved one, at least you thought they were, but you get there and it's empty. Okay, think what's going on inside for real, okay? Not like in make-believe, not movies. For real, you come there, and they were buried there, they're not there, and then you look up and you see two people who look human but also more than human. Like, I don't even know what's going on here. Okay, and they say, and here, let's put these words up on the screen. They say this. They say, why do you seek the living among the dead? And they say, they're not here. Your loved one's not here. They're risen. Right? Okay, if that happened to me, the first words out of my mouth are not going to be, he's risen indeed. I'm going to have some other words that are going to come out of this mouth. They're not going to be, he's risen indeed. Okay, how many of you know that nobody on that first Easter, nobody, their first response from nobody was, he's risen indeed. We're going to take a look at that. Now, as someone who's got a skeptic bent, I appreciate that there's so much compelling evidence that there really was an empty tomb. I really appreciate that. There's so much there. That's not what we're going to focus on today, of what happened then as far as the evidence for that. That's another topic, another time, a great topic. But if you do have questions, we'd love to have that conversation with you about that. Here's what we're going to focus on this Easter. It's related to that, 100% related to that, but here's our focal point. Our focal point this Easter is, we're going to look at the things we can testify to 2,000 years later. That's what we're going to focus on today. What are the things we can testify to 2,000 years later on the other side of the world? All right, let's get into it. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. There is evidence all around us that God is real, that God is good, and his way is a better way. There's evidence all around us right now that God is real, God is good, and his way is a better way. Now, one of the places we see this so clearly is the cross of Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus did with the cross. Think back to the time of Jesus. Jesus took one of the ugliest symbols imaginable. It was an object associated with shame, associated with suffering, associated with death. What did he do? He transformed it. He transformed it into something beautiful. He transformed it into a symbol of hope, restoration, life. I want to say a huge thanks to Mike, who created the graphic for our series. We created this beautiful cross. I want to say a huge thanks to Tim, Ailsa, and Caleb. They turned it into this 8-foot model we got right here. They took that logo and created something beautiful out of it. The cross of Jesus Christ, powerful reminder that God is real, he's good, and his way is a better way. Well, for the last 40 days, we focused our attention on how a 40-day season like Lent has the potential to bring out the best in us if we're becoming more like Jesus. All right, so here's the challenge. Here's the challenge I'd like us to reflect on this Easter. How do we help people understand this then? If we believe this is true, if we believe that God is real, he's good, and his way is a better way, how do we share that in a way that's helpful? How do we help other people see that these things are true? All right, if you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. When you believe something or believe you have something worth sharing, where do you start? Let me try that again. When you believe you have something worth sharing, where do you start? Well, the term we use for that is witnessing. And witnessing can be challenging. It can be so challenging because so many people have seen so much ugly in the name of Christianity. And they don't want to associate with anyone that identifies as Christian. So many people have said that or seen that. All right, witnessing is also a challenge because many of us have tried to witness to these things before, but sometimes it comes from that place of guilt. And when witnessing comes from a place of, oh, I'm supposed to do this, that often gets just awkward for everybody. It's also a challenge because many of us, we can relate to this, many of us, you know you're going to reach a point with almost everybody where they have one more question than you have an answer, right? And so you're like, I don't want to hit that point. I want to have all the possible answers to all their questions. It's a challenge for so many reasons. But what if I told you the main reason that witnessing is challenging for so many of us is that the way we're trying to witness is not the way that the original witnesses to the resurrection witnessed. For many of us, we're doing it very, very different. We're not witnessing in the way that we often see it in the Bible. That first Easter, people were drawn into a story, and it was a story they didn't yet fully understand. And it was a story that they were pretty sure no one else is going to believe. That's the story they're drawn into. So let's take a look at what they did. Let's take a look at what they did and what we can learn from their example. And let's start here. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. You don't need to fully understand something before you can testify to it. I'm seeing a bunch of people smiling and nodding. We often feel like, oh, I've got to, but no, you don't. You don't have to fully understand something before you can testify to it. All right, let me just give you an example, then we'll show you right from the Bible. Here's the example. There's a movie. There's a movie coming out this spring, and that movie is going to have this character in it. If you recognize this character, shout it out. Who's this character? All right, Grogu. All right, so this character was introduced to the world November 12th, 2019. Before that, how many people knew about this character? Almost nobody, right? Almost nobody. How many people do you think all around the world could recognize that character right now? A lot. A lot of people could recognize that. How did that happen? How did it happen? Some people saw it, and they're like, have you seen Baby Yoda yet? And people were testifying to this character before they even knew anything about the character, even like what its name is. So we learn more and more about this character along the way. We could share a little bit more and more. All right, now let's go back. First Easter. Apply the same principle. On that very first Easter morning, how many of the first witnesses fully understood exactly what's going on? How many?
Zero.
Nobody did. Nobody did. On that first Easter morning, how many of the first witnesses had every answer for every question somebody could ask them? None. Nobody. Zero. And yet, here we are. Even though those things are true, here we are 2,000 years later on the other side of the world, and we know about that event. Even though they didn't know what was going on exactly, even though they didn't have the answers, they started sharing what they saw and what they experienced because it was so remarkable. They'd never seen anything like it before. And then they started telling people about it. If you're taking notes, I want to invite you to write this down. The first witnesses to the resurrection simply shared what they what? What they witnessed. That's it. They just shared what they witnessed. Okay, we can do this. We can do this. If you have your Bible with you, open with me to Luke 24, verses 1 through 3, and you can see this for yourself. If you don't have a Bible at home, we want to encourage you as strong as we can. Stop, hit pause right now, go to Bible.com, download their free Bible app, and you can get a great Bible that you can use and see these things for themselves in their unfiltered state. All right, here we go. Let's start with verses 1 through 3. Luke 24, 1 through 3. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. All right, chapter 24 opens. You've got grieving women. They're grieving because someone they loved had died. And they're going there without hope of a resurrection. They're going to visit a grave. And what did they find? They found an empty tomb. And that's not all. Let's keep reading. Verses 4 through 7. 4 through 7. Okay, so while they were perplexed about this empty grave, tomb, they were perplexed. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's what? Okay, that's where we get the first part of that call and response, right here in Luke 24. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. Okay, even when we see things with our own eyes, sometimes it's hard to believe. That's true for us, and of course it should be true for them as well. I was thinking about this. Just last week I had an experience where I'm like, could that have actually happened? So last Sunday I dropped by the Juntos service, and a woman came running up to me. Her name's Maria. And she came running up to me and she says, Pastor! Well, she said it in Spanish. She had the translator. And so she says, Pastor, last time when you were with us and I came up to you and I had my thumb and it was just in so much pain. I couldn't work and these things. She goes, you guys prayed and it got healed. My thumb was healed. I know, woo. My thumb was healed. Okay. So here's the thing. The Bible says that's possible. I've seen it before. And even then, I'm still like processing it, right? Even though the Bible says it, and I've seen that happen before. Because it's just so wonderful, marvelous. It's all of these things. It still took time for that to sink in. And I still have so many questions about miracles. I have all kinds of questions around miracles that I can't answer. Well, let's go back then, the first Easter morning. As it unfolds and these miraculous things are happening, people are consistently perplexed. It wasn't just them. Consistently perplexed. They're frightened. They're confused. Which, by the way, isn't that how a lot of life is? Right? Not just these. That's how a lot of life is. If you can relate to a life filled with twists and turns that you didn't see coming and don't seem to make sense, you're in really good company. Really good company. The same company as just about everybody on that first Easter Sunday. All right, let's keep reading. Let's now go through up to verse 11, 8 through 11. Okay, so they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But those words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. In that time and in that place, if Luke is just writing this down, if he's just making stuff up, he's not making that story up. Why is he not making that story up? Because he wouldn't have women be the witnesses. Why wouldn't you have women be the witnesses? Because they weren't considered credible in those days. In fact, in a court of law, a woman's testimony wasn't considered the same as a man's. So Luke's not gonna make this up. All right, well, yet, who did God select to be the first witnesses at the tomb? It was women. Group of women. Did this group of women fully understand everything that was happening? No. Did this group of women have all the answers? No. Did this group of women expect anyone's gonna believe their testimony? Probably not. But what did they do? They shared their story. They just, here's what happened. They shared their story. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 12. Peter rose, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling, like, what just happened? What just happened? Does Peter fully understand everything that's happening? Does Peter have every answer for every question? No. And as the day unfolds, this is how it keeps unfolding. The next account that Luke has got in his passage here, he talks about two witnesses. These are the first two people all day who finally have that answer that we have in our call and response. This is where you find Luke 24, is where you find that he is risen, and you find this, Luke 24, 34, he's risen indeed. That he risen indeed, that didn't come until a whole lot later. And with those two guys, it took like all afternoon. And it finally took Jesus literally vanishing in front of their eyes before they're like, oh, we got to go tell someone. And they go to the rest of the disciples and they go, he's risen indeed. He's risen indeed. And even after all of that, and Jesus comes and he shows up in the room with the disciples, the words that Luke uses to describe that when Jesus is right there, he uses words like they were startled, they were frightened. And then this crazy phrase I've never seen anywhere else in the world. They were disbelieving for joy. That's what they were doing. Okay, this, my friends, my brothers and sisters, this is the kind of witnessing that we see the most in the scriptures. And that is so different. That is so different than what I saw growing up. When I was a kid at my church, we never talked about witnessing ever. Ever. And I guess if they would have said do it, I don't know what we would have witnessed to. Because all we did is we showed up at church and we connected with the people we already know. And then we would sing songs and then we would hear a sermon, then we'd go home. I don't know what I would tell my friends other than that. So then when I got a little older, we were exposed to churches where there was a lot of emphasis on witnessing. But in a lot of those situations, what it was is they basically said, here's the script. And they said, here's somebody else's words. Now their intentions are really good, really good. But there is a qualitative difference when you're sharing someone else's script and when you're telling a story that really happened, that you experienced, that you really saw, where it comes from the heart. When it comes to authentic Christianity, I want to invite you to write this down. You won't need someone else's script when you're part of the story. Can I get an amen to that? When you're part of the story, you don't need somebody else's script. One of the last things that Jesus said to his followers on that Easter Sunday was this. One of the last things he said, he had them all gathered. He goes, you are witnesses of these things, he said. You're witnesses. You're witnesses of these things. And if you are authentically following Jesus, you are going to experience things worth sharing. You will. If you're authentically chasing after him, you will experience things worth sharing. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it. In a book that he wrote about miracles, he said this. If you're taking notes, this is worth writing down. This is a paraphrase of how he put it, but here's the basic thought. If you want to see a train, spend time near the tracks. So over the next 40 days, that's what we're inviting you to do. That's what we're inviting you to do. Here, we'll put this slide up on the screens for you. We're inviting you to take a 40-day challenge. Spend time near the tracks, share what you see, and ask others to join you. Invite others to join you. We got really good. We got really important news to share. We're not always going to understand fully what's going on. We won't have the answer to every single question. But remember that those who went before us, they didn't either. And here we are now talking about that event. And it's not just miracle stories. This is so important. It is not just miracle stories that you want to have to share. Because often miracle stories are the least convincing. Try it sometime. They're often the least convincing. So much less convincing than a changed life. So much less convincing. These people who testified back in the day, they had three common themes. Common theme that God is real. And he is really good. Really good. And his way, it's a better way. If you want to experience those three things, then spend more time where God promised to be. That's what we mean by going to the tracks. Where has God said he will be? Go there. Go there. And just have your eyes open. And notice what you see. For example, the word says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Get outside. Get outside. Look for his fingerprints. And you can look for him. You look big and grand. Look at the sunset. Look at the stars and go, wow. Zoom in as tight as you want in the microscope. And you're going to see, wow. Look for his fingerprints. The word of God says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am with them. Go there where it's real. Not just people who say we're getting together and we're doing. Go where it's real, where people are authentically doing real biblical community, especially if they're digging into the word together and trying to live it out. Here's another example. Jesus said, welcome the children. Oh, man. We do that here. Want to put the picture up on the screen? We do that. My wife and my daughter Emma, they work with ECC kids. Every single week they got a story of something just cool. It's that evidence that God is at work in these little lives. And there's so much we can learn. All right, here's another. Jesus discipled teens. Jesus discipled teenagers. We do that here. And if you know me at all, you know I can't be quiet about that. Because he's doing so many incredible things in our midst. We got stories. Scripture invites us, visit the widows and orphans in their distress. We just had a team, I'm seeing these pictures coming back from Juarez, where they're helping to rebuild a school. Oh my goodness, they have stories. Stories of these lives. You go down and visit these kids after 1 year, they are not the same kids. So many of them are just, their lives are being transformed. Talk to Bob, he'll have a couple stories for you. He'll have some stories for you. And closer to home, God is doing something so special right now in our Juntos ministries, our bilingual ministries. Juntos is Spanish for what?
Together.
You want to see God move? Get involved with Juntos. Only God could have had us building that ark we've been building, knowing that the storm was coming. Only God could have known that. And talk about the stories. My phone's filled with them. Just in this last year, since our last Easter, filled with them. I got photos on my phone from a baptism that we did at Turtle Lake. Some of you heard about it. August. We were baptizing a man. Get this. Baptizing a man who was delivered from an evil spirit. Henry got called into that. Henry's like, this was Hollywood. It was the voices. It was everything. It was the whole deal. Delivered from a spirit. We're baptizing him. It was like that same weekend, I think it was. This just right away, same weekend. We're baptizing not just him, but everyone who saw what had happened. We're baptizing him. We're baptizing his kids. They're like, okay, we better do this too, because, oh my goodness, right? We're baptizing the kids. His sister's kids, and sister's fiance, all getting baptized. Got it on my phone. Be able to look that guy in the eye, and he goes, wow. Because I was just under this cloud. Oh, so crazy. I got a video of another man on my phone who was a vetted refugee. Many of you know this story too. He was a vetted refugee. So he was invited to come to our country. And so as a vetted refugee, he then, without just cause, is taken into detention. He's transferred to a detention center in Houston. And I got a video someone took right after his release. And there he is praising God at a church in Houston. Where's Pastor Henry from? Houston. Who founded that church? Pastor Henry. Here he is praising. Who could have lined up all of that? And there, other people got pictures on their phones. The team going down, driving them back. Do I have answers for every question that these stories raise? No. But I'll tell you this. I got a phone that is filled with pictures. And every one of those pictures has a story. That God is real. That he's good. And his way is a better way. Ultimately, you know what Luke is doing? He's just sharing using letters back then, right? He's doing what we can do. Get these stories and share them. That's what Luke is doing with this letter. So for the next 40 days, we invite you, go to those places where God is moving with eyes wide open. Just look for him there. Tell others what you're experiencing. Invite them to join you. And then instead of trying to push, let the Holy Spirit take it from there. If he prompts you to say something, say something. If not, let him do his work. All right, if you're taking notes, I'm going to invite you around one more thing down. Then we're going to open our Bibles together one last time. Here's what I invite you to write down. God invites people like us, like you and me, into a story that's going to continue how long? Come on. Into eternity. Our story is going to continue into eternity. Followers of Jesus, we have been invited into a story like no other story. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus has just revealed our story doesn't end in a tomb. It doesn't end in a tomb. We've got a living hope. And that same promise-keeping Jesus who defeated sin and death, he said, And I quote, "I'm preparing a place for you," he said. Preparing a place for you. Praise God, where there's no more ugly. No more ugly. Luke 24 opens with a group of grieving women. They're walking to a cemetery. And 40 days after that, here's how Luke ends his gospel. Verses 50 through 53. Jesus led them out. He led them out as far as Bethany, which is where he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them. He was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. And they turned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple doing what? Blessing God. Isn't that an interesting word choice there too? Do you realize how you bless God when we honor him from the heart? Oh my goodness. Well, that's a great place to close our service. Let's do that same thing. Wherever you are right now, let's do that same thing. Let's bless God as we use this song to declare these things that are true. These things that are true. Let's join our voices in an anthem that proclaims what we believe. And we don't just believe it because someone else said it. We start to believe it more and more because we're seeing it. We're experiencing it ourselves. Let's pray. And let's bless God this Easter. These heartfelt songs that honor him. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you have provided these examples all around us. You are always working, you told us. You're always working. Actually, it was Jesus that told us that you are always working, Father. You are always working. And you're always showing us these different ways that you're real, you're good, and your way is a better way. So Lord, we pray now that you'll help us. Help us to bring that good news to the word, to the world, as we proclaim, not just with our lips, but with our lives, that you are risen indeed. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.